back here on the DDC. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe with you here on this Monday morning. Hope everybody's had a good start to your week. Elijah Campbell on the controls here today. Willie will join us in just a bit. Let's say hello and good morning to Adam Vinkin from The Athletic. Adam, your thoughts on Saturday's clincher. What did you think?
It was great. It was a great atmosphere. The Predators proved that they won't be intimidated by the Carolina Hurricanes. I thought they played a solid game in the type of game that they need to play in order to beat the Hurricanes, in terms of being playing stout defense in front of the net, being physical, being opportunistic with the chances they did have. So who knows what will happen in the playoffs. You know, I still think the Hurricanes are the heavy betting favorite, but, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you might have thought that the Predators would have been steamrolled by whichever team they faced in the first round of the playoffs. Perhaps the series will be a bit more competitive than we thought.
Let's start with the opponent. Give me one of each. Give me the biggest strength, in your opinion, and the biggest weakness, in your opinion, of the Hurricanes.
Ooh, that's tough, because there aren't very many weaknesses. I mean, and there really isn't just one strength. I believe they're top five in the league in both special teams units.
Top three,
they have,
to be exact.
Top three in both special teams units. They have skill up and down the lineup. They have a deep defense. You know, what I would argue is as deep and arguably deeper than the Predators' defense. They, you know, the one question mark would be goaltending. You know, Alex Nedeljkovic, you know, played a good, solid game the other night, and he has good numbers this year. You know, James Reimer, you know, is a veteran who's been through the wars, but you know, he is what he is at this point. And of course, the Predators' kryptonite in the form of Peter Mrazek. You know, I'm not sure if he's going to play in the playoffs, but you know, goaltending would be the one area that the Predators might have an advantage over the Hurricanes. But even then, it's really difficult to find something that the Hurricanes are bad at, because there really aren't many things that they're bad at.
Brendan Moore went with Nedeljkovic on Saturday night. You just brought it up. So before we slide over and answer the same question on the Predators' end, who do you think he ultimately rolls out there in game one?
I mean, I still think it'll be Nedeljkovic. I think he has had the majority of the starts recently for the Hurricanes, and when you talk to Sarah Sivian, she'll be able to tell you better. But I would not be surprised to see Nedeljkovic in net for the Hurricanes in game one. You know, he's had a good season. But that's a better question for Sarah, I think, and she'll be able to tell you.
All right, we will talk to her at 1 o'clock today. Okay, same question on the Predators side. Biggest strength, biggest weakness, in your opinion, is?
I think the biggest strength is in goal. UC Saros has been incredible for the past 7 weeks, and nothing levels the playing field in the playoffs like a scorching hot goaltender. When it comes to the weakness, look, I think when I look at what the Predators have been able to accomplish over the past 2 months, it's remarkable. And they have two lines that really seem to be clicking. The quote-unquote herd line, which, by the way, led Predators forward lines in 5-on-5 ice time on Saturday. They had 13 minutes of 5-on-5 ice time on Saturday. And the Cali Yarncroke, Mikhail Granlund, Luke Cunningham line, which of course scored two big goals. The difference for me between the Hurricanes and the Predators is when you think about the Hurricanes' top forwards, Sebastian Aho, Andrei Svechnikov, Jordan Staal, Vincent Trocheck, I think you can count on them to show up. The names that I did not mention in talking about the Predators' top forward line, I didn't mention Philip Forsberg, I didn't mention Ryan Johansson, I didn't mention Matt Duchene, and I didn't mention Victor Arvidsson. I think the question is, can the Predators' highest-paid forwards play to the level that they are expected to be playing play to the level of the so-called second and fourth lines and match the top forwards on the Hurricanes when it comes to scoring and making big plays. You know, for all the good that the Predators have done over the past 2 months, I still have questions about the top paid forwards on this team.
What did you make of the news concerning Pekka that came out Friday afternoon and possibly finishing out his career back at home in Finland? What did you make of that? Also, look, I think all signs are pointing to – I mean, I just would be shocked. I don't know what's the right word, shocked. There's probably several other words that fit the same category if Pekka is not in net tonight. I really – floored, shocked, whatever you want to use, fill in the blank. I think he's going to play tonight, but that's just my opinion. What did you make? Let's start with the news. What did you make of that? Did that change anything for you thinking about the situation moving forward over the weekend, or was it a whole lot to do about nothing? What did you think?
So you're referring to a report that was in a Finnish newspaper last week that said that the local team Karpats, I'm probably mispronunciating that, a team that Pekka Rinne, I believe, began his professional career with, or, you know, 20-something years ago, or close right. to 20 years ago, is, you know, has had conversations with Pekka about possibly returning to the team at the conclusion of his NHL career. Here's what I can tell you. I spoke to the general manager of that team, who, by the way, is the father of Sebastian Aho, Ari Aho. I corresponded with him over email over the weekend to further the reporting. And he told me that no decision's been made, that when Pekka was in Finland before returning to the United States for the season, during the off season, that they had conversations, but Pekka had not made any determinations about his career. So they're just conversations in case Pekka decides, you know, to go back to Europe and play in Europe if his NHL career comes to an end or when it comes to an end. So to me, it's really much do about nothing. I mean, I can't imagine Pekka being done when his NHL career is over. So if you want, you know, think about what Jaromir Jagr has done. I don't know if Pekka's going to play until he's 50 like Jagr. Nothing is imminent. There is no expectation that Pekka is going to leave the NHL this offseason and go play in Europe. It's just an option for him if he wants to continue his career not in the NHL.
If he does play tonight, what do you think it's going to be like in Bridgestone?
I think it's going to be emotional because we do not know, you know, what the future holds for Pekka. I think it would make all the sense in the world. I agree with you, Darren. One game that is meaningless. Let's put it to you this way: in terms of the outcome of the game, mm-hmm. as long as nobody gets hurt, the right. result of the game is meaningless. So, you know, when was the last time Pekka played? A month ago.
It makes sense. But it's about right.
Yeah, it makes sense for him to get another start because UC Saros, of course, is going to be the starting goaltender in the playoffs. And considering how great the atmosphere has been in these games recently since they increased the capacity at Bridgestone Arena to 33%, I absolutely believe that Pekka deserves one more game this season. I mean, like you said, it's not confirmed that Pekka Rinne is not going to play again next season. He still could play. Mm-hmm. But considering the situation and the uncertainty, you know, I think it would be a cathartic experience for a lot of fans to see Pekka in that at least one more time this season. So I expect him to start. I would be surprised if he didn't.
Adam, I know that none of us have been able to be around the team. We haven't been in the locker room this season. It's just been a different set of circumstances. But we've got enough time logged with Pekka over the years. And I'm just curious because – I don't know. I mean, I've been around Pekka since the beginning. He's been here. But obviously you don't have those conversations, or at least I can't think of a time that's ever been blurted out there. But I'm going to just ask you, just out of curiosity. We know that he's a new father. We know that you know, life has changed. As it's going to change for you. Life is about to change a little bit later this calendar year. And, you know, so he's got that going on in his life. He's going to be, you know, close to 40. But do we know? So this is when you start thinking about all these things. And he has spent his entire career, he's a good bulk of his adult life in Nashville. Do we have any idea on if Pekka, when post-NHL career, if he was planning on ever staying here and living like a lot of formers do, or does he go back home and reside back in Finland? Have you ever had a conversation with him or ever heard anything of the sort of that come out of his mouth of plans after hockey?
I've talked about it with him a little bit over the years, not directly in terms of asking, hey, what are you going to do when you're not playing anymore? Mm-hmm. But just based on the conversations we've had over the years just about life, he spends as much time in Finland as he can. You know, he's not one of those guys that sticks around, you know, during the summertime.
Right.
As soon as he's available to go to Finland, he goes to Finland. And I think he started, like when the pause first happened last year, he started here, but then went back to Finland before returning to Nashville for the training camp in the summertime. So just based on that, I would expect him to go back to Finland. Things can change, of course. You're right. A lot of former Predators players have planted roots in Nashville. And I could see Pekka keeping a house here, but I would expect him, just based on the conversations I've had with him over the past number of years, that he will go back to Finland. You know, his family's there. His partner's family's there. I'm sure he wants to be around his family now that he has a son. I would expect him to return to Finland and live in Finland primarily.
We're talking to the head of the table, Adam Vingan from The Athletic, getting the look at the Predators tonight as they take on Carolina, and then, of course, this playoff series as well. In everything that we've talked about with you, Adam, over the last, you know, 5 or so months, and we've had a lot of in-depth conversations, candid conversations about the direction of this team, what they should do, how has your, professional opinion of the coaching job of John Hines maybe changed in the last couple of months watching what this team has been able to do, considering everything that has been thrown against them?
Yeah, and some of which has been thrown against them was of their own doing. There's been a lot they've had to go through, yes, but some of it was their own fault, for lack of a better phrase. I've always had a lot of respect for John Hines. You know, you'll remember in February, I think it was, which seems like eons ago, I wrote a story basically saying that the reasons for the Predators' struggles were not John Hines' fault. You know, I blamed it on the players. And, you know, I took a lot of heat for that take. I've gotten some comments on the story I wrote today about whether we should consider this season a success regardless of what happens in the playoffs. And some of the comments in the stories, you know, have said, like, there was one reader who said that he was anti-Hines from the beginning, but he's changed his tune or at least has more confidence in John Hines. You know, this is my sense of things, that, you know, John Hines has seemed to tap into something that has resonated with these players. I think that this team really needed a swift kick in the rear end. I really do think that complacency had set in that dressing room, among the veterans specifically. I feel like, and you saw it, I think, at the beginning of the season, too. Like, I feel like the level of commitment, and John Hines has said this many times, the level of commitment, the self-sacrifice just wasn't there. And the injuries, I think, were a blessing in disguise because it allowed younger players, hungrier players to step up, which pushed the veterans. I mean, how many times have we heard the veteran players say that the rookies have been great because they're lively, they're energetic, they're working hard, and it makes those players work even harder. So I think John Hines has done an incredible job this season. I think he deserves a lot of credit for what we witnessed over the past number of weeks. And I was interested to see my colleague at The Athletic, Pierre LeBrun, poll GMs for their Jack Adams Award votes. And I was surprised not to see John Hines receive one vote in that informal poll. I know that the first half of the season was a dud, but I do not believe that the Predators make the playoffs if John Hines doesn't press all the right buttons. So, you know, I think he deserves a whole ton of credit for what's happened over the past number of weeks.
So the focus right now is obviously the playoffs and seeing what happens from there. But do you believe that what needs to happen during the off season, you know, those moves, do you think that those are obvious now, or do you still need to see maybe what happens with some of those players on this playoff run, however long or short it may be?
Yeah, my opinion on the future of the team, at least the immediate future of the team, has changed slightly. You know, in late February, early March, I thought this team needed to be detonated. I don't so much believe that anymore, mostly because of the younger players. Now, are any of those players elite prospects? No, but they've all contributed to this team being where it is. Think about where the Predators would be without Elie Tolvanen, Tanner Jeannot, Matthew Olivier, Yakov Trenin, Alex Carrier. You know, think about where this team would be without those players. You know, so I think the future does not seem as bleak. But at the same time, a championship does not seem on the immediate horizon. And tough decisions are going to have to be made. You know, I fully admit, you know, I was on the trade every veteran with an expiring contract train before the trade deadline. And that includes Mikael Granlund. And that's another player. Think about where this team would be without Mikael Granlund. Mm-hmm. And to me, you know, Mikael Granlund has surpassed some of the quote-unquote top forwards on this team. You know, it looks like he could be, you know, a long-term answer at second-line center. But what does that mean for Matthew Shane, for example? And Mikael Granlund's going to need a new contract, and you also have to think about new contracts for Philip Forsberg and Mattias Ekholm down the line. So, something's got to give. And I would have a hard time imagining all four of Forsberg, Arvidsson, Johansson, and Duchesne being on the team next year. I still think there needs to be changes made, but I do not believe they need to be as drastic as I thought they were, as I thought they did 2 months ago.
So as we look at tonight and speculating that some guys may get a rest, could you see young Philip Tomasino making his NHL debut?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong here. Has he been recalled from the taxi? Recalled from the American League? I haven't seen anything to that effect.
That's a good point. I'm not sure.
So the AHL is weird this year. So they're not having a traditional Calder Cup playoff, and I think the AHL basically left it to each division to determine what they're going to do in the postseason. I think, like, the Western Division, the team, you know, the division with the teams with, you know, in California and whatnot, I think they're actually going to have divisional playoffs. The Central Division, where the Wolves are not going to have playoffs. Basically, whichever team finishes in first is going to win the trophy, and that's it. So I could see Philip Tomasino being a part of the roster in the postseason. But, you know, unless I'm missing something, I haven't seen him recalled from the American League, so I wouldn't expect him to play.
So how do you answer how this plays out? Because you know, I think it's a good water cooler topic this week for fans, right? The fans. By the way, the atmosphere was awesome Saturday. It'll be awesome again tonight. Over 7,100 in the building, and will be increased for the playoffs. But how do you answer what you said you put out on The Athletic? How do you what will be ultimately, however this all plays out? Now, obviously, a long run answers that. But what if it's not? How is this season going to be viewed? How should it be viewed?
Yeah, that's the big question. Like I said, I think the future seems less bleak than it did in January and February and in the early part of March. I still think this team needs to be It needs to, this team needs to be realigned, for lack of a better term, in some way. Because ultimately, even though the Predators played at a 118-point pace over the second half of the season, I do not think they are a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. But all hope is no longer lost. So I think if the Predators, if the Predators find a way to upset the Hurricanes, then in my opinion, this season is a resounding success, because I don't think anybody expects that to happen. I think if the Predators lose in the first round but make the series competitive, if they lose in, let's say, six games, but the games aren't blowouts, they're tight games, a couple games go to overtime, they're competitive against the Hurricanes. I think you could, like, I think for the first time in a few.
Oh, no. Did we lose it?
Oh, right at the end.
Right. The cliffhanger. We were. I think we lost it.
I think we did.
Well, it was at the
I
end.
Think they've got young players they can count on.
He's back. What? You went away for a second. You went away for about 10 seconds, actually. Go ahead.
What was the last thing I said that you heard?
We were waiting for the cliffhanger. You had transitioned to the other side, and then if it's close, six games, and then you kind of went away.
Okay. So, yes, if the Predators are competitive against the Hurricanes in the first round, I think you can feel good about the direction of the team. It's not perfect. Major changes still need to be made. But, like I said, if you would have asked me this question, and you did ask me this question,
mm-hmm.
2 months ago, I would have said this team is a lost cause. It needs to be detonated. It needs, you know, you basically trade everybody who's not nailed down to the floorboards and start again. I don't think you need to do that anymore. I think John Hines is the right coach for this group right now, and I think there are reasons for optimism for the first time in 2 or 3 years, in my opinion.
Adam, good stuff as always. Just remember, this was your last free Mother's Day. Okay, this is the last time you got a free pass. Like, moving forward.
No, I didn't get a free pass. Bridget still got a gift.
And that's the right. I'm saying, though, you are definitely on the hook. No matter what you did yesterday, moving forward, you better get it right, because or you'll be in hot water. She may detonate you.
I was going to give her a gift card, but it never showed up.
I put it on a tee, and you knocked it out. We've
decided, Adam, that since Willie is over on the east side, we're going to give it to Willie, and now it's in his hands.
It needs to be delivered to my front door.
All right, good. We'll get your address. We'll put you on hold. Adam Vinken from The Athletic, we're going to get his new address. And we're going to take care of business. That's what we're going to do. Chase, I'm going to propose something to you on the other side on how we wrapped up with Adam. My thoughts moving forward. And I want to find out if you agree or disagree with what they need to truly, I guess, push this thing to the level it needs to be. And we'll do that on the other side to close out hour number one. As you listen to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
But first, I'm going to tell you about my friends at BetMGM, because they truly are my friends. I have a lot of fun with that app, and I can tell you how you can score a major payday this May. See what they did there? With BetMGM. It's the best time to sign up for the King of Sportsbooks, because they're giving new customers a shot at an easy $100. Just register using the code 1025GAME100 and win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Grizzlies or the Pelicans. And if either team hits a three, you're a winner. It's that simple. Whether you're raising the stakes on basketball and hockey playoffs or wagering on your favorite baseball team, BetMGM is always ready for action, just like me. Enjoy innovative parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use that code 1025GAME100 to win $100 when you bet just $1 on the Grizzlies or the Pelicans and either team hits a three. New customer offer, paid in free bets. You must be 21 years or older, must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for a full list of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.